Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Show of hands, who recognizes the title in the sermon? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, for the rest of you who don't know, this is going to be your literary presentation for the day. And I think that Deb probably knows this book too. But So Long and Thanks for All the Fish was the fourth volume in a trilogy written by Douglas Adams. And that trilogy actually had 6 or 7 books in it. The first book was Life, the Universe, and Everything. Excuse me, it wasn't, was it? It was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So when I'm talking about books, I should probably be talking about something that's meaty and weighty, like The Brothers Karamazov, or something else that has distinct religious themes in it. But I'm talking about Douglas Adams this morning. Why? You may wonder. Well, Douglas Adams was a very talented and very funny writer. And you may not like science fiction as a genre, but the books are worth reading because Douglas Adams was a very funny man. Now, I settled on this title as I was trying to come up with something clever for today's message. I wanted something to do with fish or sea life, and this is what I struck on. Now, you may notice there are no fish or whales or any other sea life in the passage from Jonah. But when I mention Jonah, what do people think of? A whale. There's no whale in Jonah. Never a whale is mentioned. But we have taken the fish and transformed it into a whale. Okay. And then we have the reading from John. And surely you recognize the story of Jesus going and calling disciples and how Peter, who was then known as Simon, was called to be a fisher of men. You may remember that as the Authorized Version translation. Well, there's the theme. Jonah and Simon's brother, were called to be disciples. Okay, that's great. Now, guess what? You are called to be disciples, each and every one of you. Now, some of you seem to be smiling. Some of you are looking at me like I've lost my mind. Some of you are wondering, why me? Well, Jonah was in that why me category. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the story of the book that's not in today's reading. But you remember that Jonah was called to go preach to the people of Nineveh. Jonah did not want to. Jonah did not care about the Ninevites. And frankly, he would have been happy to have them be wiped off the face of the earth. And he tried to get out of it. And he got on a boat sailing as far away from Nineveh as he could. And then the storm broke out. And Jonah was washed overboard. And then we have the story of his being swallowed by a great fish. Now, I cannot tell you whether this happened or not. I do not know of any cases of people being swallowed by fishes or whales or other sea creatures and surviving whole and intact for 3 days. I'm sure I could find stories about that online, but you know, the internet is not always the best source of information. But the story was told and shared. Jonah was spit up on dry land. And wouldn't you know it, God talked to him again. And God summoned Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. And he did. Now, Jonah wasn't happy about any of this. He should have been. I mean, I as a preacher would love to know that I could get an entire city to turn to God by just preaching a few words of gloom and doom. Can't do it. But in the story in Jonah, we read that Jonah had waited outside the city and the sun began to beat down on his head and Jonah became uncomfortable, so God caused a tree to grow up behind him. Jonah grew very fond of this tree, understandably so. And then Jonah began to complain. Jonah is never called a prophet in this book. Not once. Jonah was a whiner. That term's not there either, but Jonah was a whiner. And he complained about the tree dying. And God wasn't having any of it. Because God looked at Jonah and said, what about all those people in Nineveh and all their animals and all the things they had? You worry about one stupid tree, but you don't care about all of these people? What should I have done? So this is a very personal story for us to tell. I am sure that there are people you do not like or care about. If not, you are an example of what humanity should be. But I suspect there are people you don't care for, people you don't want to pray for, and yet you do it. Because even the people we don't like, even the people we hate, even the people who are nuisances and annoyances to us are God's children. That's true. So on Tuesday, we're going to have a chance to go out and vote. And I hope that everybody here is registered to vote who lives in New Hampshire and is going to vote in the primary. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I am going to tell you to vote wisely. Vote wisely. This is an important thing for you to do. This is part of the responsibility of being a citizen of this country, and it is part of your responsibility as a Christian. Not because you're doing something to glorify God, but because we are given the authority over one another. It's not some doofuses down in Washington, or pardon me, Laurel, or some goombas down in Concord. It is we the people. Now that has been an abused phrase over recent years, but it still is true in this country. Now, maybe you don't want to go out on Tuesday to vote. It's cold. The news has told us who's going to win. Have you delegated your right to vote to ABC or CNN? Really? Have you? Are you going to vote for whom they say you're going to vote? I hope not. I hope that everybody here will go and cast a thoughtful vote. And yes, I would also like you to be prayerful before you go in that voting booth. I'm not going to tell you that one candidate will do the will of God and the other is Satan's tool. But I am going to tell you that you need to pray when you go to vote. Maybe you don't want that responsibility. Well, let's look at the story from John. Here are Simon and his brother getting the boats ready to go out and do their day's work. And I don't know if anybody here has ever been a professional fisherman. I suspect not, but the knowledge of fishing I have comes from our living on Cape Ann in Massachusetts and visiting the boats down in Gloucester. And being a fisherman is hard work. It's not easy. So maybe people would like to give it all up and go do something else. But I can't imagine the dream of throwing one's responsibilities aside involved following an itinerant teacher for 3 years. And then beginning to harbor dreams of what might be. And then having those dreams turn to dust. So Peter never became the right-hand man of the new ruler. The disciples never got to sit in big fancy offices. They didn't have armies responding to their beck and call. But they shared the message, they shared the gospel of Jesus with a wider community. And think about how the early church started. It was a lot smaller than the congregation we have here today. It would have been a few people gathering in a room. And what they were doing appealed to other people, and some new folks joined them, and then other churches started, which were house churches, and that message spread like wildfire. So we know that nothing good really seemed to happen to the disciples in the end. We know that Peter, executed by the Romans. Thomas purportedly went off to India. Imagine what it was like to be the sole Roman citizen walking around in India. But he did it. He was called to share the good news. Being called by God is not a matter of what we find to be convenient. I will confess to you, there have been times when I have wondered, why, oh why, God, did you bother me with this call? I could have made a lot more money doing other things. There are times when people get on my nerves. But I was called into this ministry. And yes, I was called into a particular role in the ministry, but that doesn't mean you're not called. So sometimes it bothers me that I have to be an apologist for God. And I remember visiting with a now deceased member of our congregation many years ago. And he was sitting at his kitchen table, and he looked across the table, and he showed me a Time magazine that had a striking photograph of a young woman in another country who was suffering. And he wanted to know why. I couldn't give him a good answer at that moment. And that was very early in my time here. I don't know if I give him a good answer now. I might give him a more well-developed, thoughtful answer. But why do I have to explain to people about the fact that there is evil in the world? Why do I have to explain to people that some people make bad and awful choices? The answer is because we have free will. And yes, you may say, well, that's all well and fine, but what's the alternative? Do you want someone telling you what to do all the time? And I'm sure everybody here can think of instances of people telling them what they should do for their own good that seem really, really picayune and annoying and stupid and just out there. But that's part of living in a community. That's part of being responsible to one another. We are not sole individuals floating around in the universe all by ourselves. Some of us here have spouses, romantic partners. We may have business partners. We may have colleagues at work. I cannot think of anybody who is going through life all by himself or herself. And at times it might feel that way. But you're not alone. That's part of the good news that was being preached. God is with us all the time. So I can say, God, why do I have to be an apologist for you? And I can imagine God saying in response, why do I have to put up with you, Steve? I will admit, I'm not always the easiest person to get along with. But God loves me anyway. Just as God loves you, each and every one of you. Now, some of you may think that's great, and I can take that to the bank. And others of you might be wanting to see some proof. If you're looking for that proof, I encourage you to look around the sanctuary. Because there are good people here. There are good people here who care about you. There are good people here who will take out a shovel in the morning and shovel out a path to the street. There are good people here who work on our church finances. There are good people here who are spending their time thinking about our church bylaws, how we organize ourselves. And the list goes on and on and on. And I'll finish with, there are good people here who contribute to the Super Bowl offering. Good people, all doing the work of God. So imagine you're standing by the boat, ready to go out and get ready for your day's work. And imagine this guy comes along and says, "Hey, you, come follow me. I want you to be a fisher of people." What would your likely response be to that? "Go away. I don't talk to crazy people." Now, maybe having some caution as your default response is not a bad thing. But I talked with the kids before about being able to see wonder in the world. And we've blinkered ourselves so much that we cannot see the possibility of something better. That's what Jesus was all about. Jesus was coming to preach the good news of God's healing and God's love and God's grace and God's peace. And think about the difference that can make, not only in the wider world, but in your own world. So I haven't told you what the sermon title actually means. But a bunch of aliens supposedly decided that the Earth was going to be destroyed so an interstellar off-ramp could be built right where Earth is. Now, of course, that doesn't work with the physics of the universe as we know it, but the physics of the universe is supposedly more complicated. And just before the Earth was blown up, the dolphins left. Those happy, friendly creatures of the sea that we all love. And they left a note saying, "So long, and thanks for all the fish." Good news for the dolphins, they were okay. And this is a spoiler, but humanity was supposedly spirited off to another Earth. But think about what the dolphins did. They said, "You are on your own. We're out of here." Now, frankly, I can't blame the dolphins. You think about it. Most dolphins are okay swimming around in the ocean, trying to avoid fishing nets. And then there are a lucky few who find themselves brought to aquariums where they get to perform for people. And then there are the unlucky few who are drafted into military programs to do really stupid things. So maybe their desire to say thank you for all the fish and then just leave was not unreasonable. But God doesn't do that. God instead came here in the person of Jesus and taught us and healed us and loved us and died for us. Think about that. Think about that. God died for us. God did not have to do that. God chose to. You are that important. You are that valuable. And I don't care who you vote for on Tuesday. Actually, I do. But by and large, I don't care who you vote for on Tuesday. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care about your cultural background. I don't care about your race. I just care about you. And yes, that's what I'm saying God says all the time. And maybe I'm trying to live out that goofy bracelet slogan that people used to wear, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I think more appropriate would be, what would Jesus have me do? But I think Jesus wants us to love one another and to care about one another and to share God's love with one another. So it doesn't matter whether we are fishermen who are going to become itinerant preachers, disciples. It doesn't matter whether we're wayward prophets or whiners. God has work for us to do. You are called. And I could call you all out by name. I'm not going to do that. But just imagine God is saying right now, John, you are called. God's doing that. And with a much more convincing voice than I just used. And maybe God has a soft voice when God's talking to you. And maybe it'll just be a stirring in your heart. But God is calling you. So you can pick up your fish. Actually, you can't. We don't have any fish for you here today. But your proverbial fish. And be on your way. And when you go out and leave this place, think about what God would have you do. Think about the message God would have you share with other people. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear God, thank you for your word and for your grace and for your prophets throughout the ages. Thank you for all who are called to do your work and all who are deputized to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.